Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office equipment solutions North America wide?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
It is 12:34 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you on Oilers Now, where guests receive gift certificates to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night on the town, every meal's an occasion at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. We are pleased to be joined on the line by our Oilers Now headliner for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. We welcome back to the show one of the most plugged-in men in the business, Elliot Friedman from NHL Hockey and Rogers. Hi, Elliot. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today, Bob?
Oh, it's going pretty good. What a difference a month
makes.
A month ago.
For first place.
Yeah. Are you surprised by that?
A little bit. I mean, I think a lot of people had big hopes for the Oilers. But the way it started, I think maybe some of us started to wonder. If anything, I think it just shows the value of roles, right? Like when you have people playing in the roles that they're kind of accustomed to, then I think it kind of makes everything better. And, you know, everybody's injured, everybody's banged up, but Smith coming back, at least what it's done is he and Koskinen are kind of playing in terms of their roles what everybody envisioned, and I think it helps. I don't think there's any question it helps.
Well, it's interesting because, the Oilers did lead last year the Canadian teams in winning percentage. They also had the second-best goals against. And I said about a week and a half ago, if the team could get from .895 save percentage to .905, I could see them competing for a playoff spot. And then Mike Smith decided to play like a modern-day Dominic Hasek over a stretch here. Mm-hmm. And suffice to say, we're looking at something that's completely different now. This will be an interesting series coming up against Toronto, won't it be?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's the obvious reasons, all the star power, even though Matthews didn't skate today, and we'll see what exactly is going on there. But all the star power makes it interesting, and now you're looking at 1-2 in the Canadian division, makes it even more interesting. Plenty of room for Twitter hate this weekend. That's what we all want.
Is that what we all want? You know what? I speaking of Twitter, I know last week you talked about how much you love doing the Instigators. Who are the guest hosts or who are the hosts of the Instigators?
Andrew Peters and Craig Rivet. Now, Marty Baron's there from time to time, but those are the two big guys.
All right. Yesterday we had Edmonton sporting icon, Montreal-based media personality, George Larocque on. And he spoke, so we're just going to put you on hold here, and he spoke about he fought Andrew Peters twice. Here's some thoughts.
You know what, Bob? I'm cutting up a podcast here, and it's loading. I've got the white wheel of death for a minute.
Hang on.
Here we go.
I remember it was in Edmonton, and we were playing him, and my cousin, which was Johnny Grandpierre, was telling me, you know, Peters is going to ask you to go, and I was like, I don't care. Peters is, Landy Ruff told him not to fight me. He didn't want me to fight me because he said, it's going to let up the crowd in Edmonton, so don't do it. Don't fight him. So we're standing in a face-off, and he's in front of me, and I hate when guys were asking me because I was like, no, I'm going to destabilize them. I'm going to ask him. So he's in front of me, and I was like, Andrew, you want to do this? And he's so surprised because usually he's the one that would be asking a guy like me because he wants to make a name for himself. So he's like, Bobby's like, oh my God, what did I do? Why did George just ask me? He's like, yeah, sure, thanks. And then, it might have been harder to fight you, Bob, I think, if I was going to fight than that one. But I think he was very nervous. So, you know, it didn't help him and stuff. So he didn't play under the chef after because Landy Ruff was like, I told you not to fight him. Now look at the crowd, look at everything. And,
yeah. You know, George, Andrew Peters would mop the floor with me. But I would have. There you go, Elliot. I you know what? The chances of that happening in that sequencing, unfortunately for Peters, the two times he fought George, he lost his balance both times. I'll stand by my comment. He'd mop the floor with me, but
assuming that's like it's all true, Andrew wouldn't be the first guy who was nervous about facing George Larac. George at his peak, he scared everybody. So I don't look at that as a negative at anyone. George was an intimidating presence.
You know what? All I can say is guys were lucky he didn't fight Mad. I mean, he fought Rob Ray Mad one time in Buffalo, and I don't think Rob Ray was ever really the same. And, of course, Ray had the reputation for coming out of his you-know-what, his crap, and that worked to his advantage. But George, I mean, he's left-handed. He's stronger than anybody. He's huge. He'd get the helmet off the guy right away, and it was just kind of a funny. I mean, it was kind of funny because, you know, I had to laugh. And, I would say this, like, God rest his soul, but a guy like Todd Ewan, who dropped Bob Probert one time, he had those long arms. He's the type of guy that could hurt you with on any given day in that role. Even the toughest guys get knocked off once. The problem Todd had is he had to fight Bob Probert every time he played him because he dropped Bob Probert, right? So we don't have a lot of that anymore in the league. Tom Wilson last night, I got to ask you this, huge hit on Mark Jankowski. Okay.
Yeah.
You know Brian Burke's in Pittsburgh, and so too is Ron Hextall. Do you think the Penguins at some point look to potentially add a little bit of muscle, knowing the history of the president, even though that wasn't necessarily the modus operandi of Hextall in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think it could be possible. Like, ultimately, like, what I really believe is that Hextall's going to have a lot of the juice there. And I think Berkey's going to be like a sounding board. When he was in Calgary with Brad Treliving, I think Treliving made a lot of the calls, and Berkey was just like, "Are you sure?" Or Berkey would run, would manage up. Like Burke wasn't making the biggest hockey calls in Calgary. I think things had to run through him from time to time, but it wasn't like he was saying do this or do that. That sounds like it's going to be the setup in Hextall. I think Hextall is going to have a lot of the say. However, you know what Berkey's vote would be. The one thing is, don't forget, they tried it once with Ryan Reeves, and it didn't really work for them. And so I'd be curious to see, you know, what kind of road they would go down if they tried to do that. Bob, the bottom line is there just aren't many of those guys left.
No.
That's why Tom Wilson got the contract he got, because there aren't many of those guys left. And that makes them even more valuable if you've got them.
Well, the Islanders have two, but they only play one of them in about half the games because they have Ross Johnson and they have Matt Martin. And, they're not as effective as Tom Wilson, but, you know, they're in the same division. And I just watch Washington with that big, heavy team, and they pound Pittsburgh every chance they get them. And we know Pittsburgh's trying to keep the dream alive. The Oilers signed Cassian to a four-year extension at $3.2 million. And the games, you know, I know we had fans at Edmonton that did not like the Antoine Roussel play with, the Puljujärvi. My only issue is that's got to be a double minor. How that's a single minor, right? You can't just punch a guy in the face and only get one minor. But anyhow, it is because the game, I mean, there's different ways to counteract that. And one of the ways is to have a real good power play. And that's kind of been the way the Leafs have done it, right? A bit. And I think.
Not until lately.
Yeah. Calgary Flames.
For their last 11. Yeah.
Calgary Flames, Elliot. Have you got them figured out yet?
No, I don't even think they've got themselves figured out yet. It's kind of interesting. Like, there have been a few teams in the Canadian division this year, and Ottawa's won, and Montreal's now going through it now. And Calgary's kind of there too. Ottawa earlier in the year, if there was a momentum point in the game and they got a save or two, they really started flying. Like, they would say, "Oh, okay, we're good tonight. We're getting saves," and they would give you games. But then when they saw the puck was going in, they weren't even in games. And I think they're like that. Like if Murray or Hogberg, who's hurt right now, or whoever it is, whether it's going to be Joey DeCord or Gustafson, whoever it's going to be, like the Senators, to me, if they get a save at a big point in the game, they're like, all right, we're in this, and we're going, and we're growing confidence. And I see that with Montreal last night. Like, you could see it when Price gave up those two goals, they just sagged. And Calgary's going, like, this week, Calgary, you know, they that game last Saturday night with you, Markstrom doesn't look right. He gives up two goals early, and someone says to me at the show, this game's over. I'm like, there's 55 minutes to go. And they're like, it doesn't matter. This game's over. Calgary's not coming back. And you guys blew them out. And then they go into Toronto. Riddick shuts them out, and they win. Riddick battles hard in game two, and they lose 2-1 in overtime. And then last night, Riddick has a rough night, and they lose 6-1. And, you know, like Calgary to me is that same team right now. If they get a save, they're in it. If not, they're really fragile. Now, as you know, Bob, like 5 hours before I come on this show on Fridays, I do Calgary. And boy, like Rhett Warner is not a happy guy right now. And the Calgary fans are not happy right now. And, you know, they want Sam Bennett run right out of town, which is fine. But it's not like you can tell me that trading Sam Bennett's going to solve all your problems. Like, I know they're mad at Sam Bennett because he asked for a trade and his agent went public with it. But there are bigger problems than just him. Like, they are not there right now. And, you know, the tough thing is that if you look at the Canadian division, the math, it's starting to spread its way out. Like, the math is good for Toronto. The math is good for Edmonton. The math is good for Winnipeg. The math is still good for Montreal, although they're not going very well right now. Ottawa, the math is terrible. The math is terrible for Vancouver. And the math is really starting to turn on Calgary. And the thing I said to them right now is, unless you're making a trade in Canada right now, yep, are you making a deal that takes your guy out of the lineup and prevents you from getting the other guy in for at least 2 weeks? And we saw what happened to Dubois. So when the Flames kind of say, as they said this week, the solution comes from within, I really believe the solution has to come. Like, unless they just decide, we've got such a good move here, we have no choice but to do it. It's tough to make a blockbuster out of the country right now because you're basically saying we're playing shorthanded for 3 weeks.
And that's what happened with Winnipeg and the Dubois deal. They were down for a couple weeks there. Elliot, Buffalo's...
And the thing that helped them with Bob is, I don't know, they obviously didn't plan it this way, but doing it early, I think, really is going to save them.
Yeah, they got one of the two goaltenders that's going to be in between the pipes for the U.S. and the Olympics. Assuming we go.
I also think that I like their team a lot. I think they're a little thin defensively, but
they got a great top six.
But even like that third line, I think is really good. Like, I think they've got a good group.
Yeah, they got some size down the middle. Elliot Friedman from NHL Hockey and Rogers for the River Cree Resort and Casino. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you on Oilers Now. All right, we're going to shuffle off back to Buffalo. Jeff Skinner, Ralph Kruger, Taylor Hall. Taylor, I got the text last night during our game. You know Taylor Hall's got one goal this year. Yes, I know Taylor. Curtis Lazar has four goals. I mean, you know, Riley Sheehan has. I am stunned. Except when I watch Buffalo play, I'm not as much stunned because to me, Taylor doesn't look quite right now. And I'm a believer of Taylor's ability, but the Jeff Skinner situation, this is a tough situation for the Buffalo Sabres organization, isn't it?
It is. I listened today to, Ralph Kruger, and like, you know, it's just like, you know, Eichel now is banged up. Allmark got hurt last night. He's available for the weekend. Ristolainen, they're hoping, could play this weekend, which I was very excited to hear. I mean, good. I'm really glad to hear that. You know, everything is kind of going wrong. Now, you know, Skinner, you know, they made him available today. They didn't say if he was going to play this weekend. Kruger has a rule. He doesn't say it until the game. But it sounds like he's got a chance to come back in. You know, you could tell that Skinner's not happy. The agent Don Meehan had a conversation. You know, he said that, you know, he would wait a week to see what happens, what transpires before he would talk further. I mean, it's just, I mean, everything that could go wrong there is going wrong. They're having one of those just awful years where nothing goes your way. You know, the whole Skinner thing, first of all, you can't scratch a guy making $72 million for three games in a row before you're without your owners knowing about it. Like, there's right. They had to run this all the way up the food chain. There's just nothing else you can say about it. I'm really curious. The Skinner said today he wants to stay in Buffalo, but I just can't help think that, first of all, I don't even know if you can trade the contract, but it starts with, are you willing to go somewhere? And I'm sure those conversations are kind of happening.
In your 31 thoughts this week, you commented on Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Yeah. You know, like, you know, obviously he's a UFA at the end of the year. You know, I my belief is that, you know, one of the things that happens is, when you're the Oilers, and I look at Nurse this way, and I look.
Did we lose our man, Elliot?
I think we lost Elliot. Do you still have me?
I've got you.
All right. Well, why don't you see if you can reach back to Elliot, because I think the listeners, if possible, would like to hear what Elliot had to say about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Just a quick couple notes. Sounds like Jack Campbell will start tomorrow for Toronto. Austin Matthews did not skate today. Sheldon Keefe did not rule out the possibility that he would be in the lineup for the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow. That's a 5 o'clock puck drop, by the way, against the Edmonton Oilers. So we'll have to wait on that front.
Okay, we're good now.
We think we have Elliot now. Let's circle back to Elliot Friedman. Elliot, you were just saying about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Darnell Nurse.
So what I would say, Bob, is that, like, if you lose those guys, you have to replace them. You have to bring somebody into Edmonton. It's probably going to cost you more. And secondly, the chances are you lose the connection of players who want to be Edmonton Oilers, whose first choice is to be an Oiler. And I think at the end of the day, Nugent-Hopkins wants to be an Oiler. The organization recognizes that, and they value it. The problem is that, you know, I think there were a lot of people who thought we'd be much more ahead of where we are in terms of financial recovery. I think that's thrown a wrench into it that everybody's got to kind of figure out. But I do believe at the end of the day, he wants to be there. They want him to be there. They don't want to have to go out and replace him. Just how do you cross that bridge? But I believe that if there's a will on both sides, and there absolutely is a will on both sides, it gives you your best possible chance of sorting it out.
Elliot, we appreciate that you took time to call us back. Thank you for joining us on Oilers Now. We'll hook up next week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
That is Elliot Friedman. It is 12:51 in Edmonton. I'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Hi, this is Connor McDavid from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Connor McDavid with a pedestrian 26 points over the last 13 games. prorated scoring, whatever you want to call that, era adjusted. His current pace is the ninth highest scoring season in NHL history to start the year. Take that for what it's worth. As we go to NHL Today, which is brought to you daily on Oilers Now and has been on this version of the show since it moved over to 630 CHED back in 2011 for the last 10 years. NHL Today for elite promotional marketing, company branded PPE available, including logoed masks, all created in-house. Drew Shamahorn and the group at Elite Edmonton owned and operated. Visit ElitePromoMarketing.com. Back at the 630 CHED studios, Brendan Escott.
No Canadian action tonight, but it does start early tomorrow. Ottawa hosting Calgary at 11 o'clock our time. The Oilers, of course, welcome Toronto at 5 o'clock here on 630 CHED. And then it's Winnipeg home to Montreal again in the nightcap. Kevin Lowe, Angela James, Bill Hay, all named to the Order of Hockey in Canada. That's the class of 2021 today. They'll get a gala dinner to honor them in June. Bakersfield Condors looking for win number one, but of course had last night's game postponed, so they're off until next week. And then the Edmonton Oil Kings are kicking off their 24-game regular season tonight against the Lethbridge Hurricanes, downtown Community Arena. They'll play the rematch down in Lethbridge tomorrow night.
And we go to the Oilers Now Injury Report, brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. For every goal the Oilers score, James H. Brown donates $100 to 630 Jets Santa's Anonymous. Here's Brendan Escott.
Terrace and James Neal, both day-to-day. William Lagesson on the IR with a wrist injury. Cassian and Cuckoo on the long-term injured reserve. Toronto might be without goaltender Frederick Anderson for this game against the Oilers. He's missed the last two with a lower body issue. Auston Matthews playing through a bad wrist. Jake Muzzin, a facial fracture. He's out indefinitely. Wayne Simmonds on the shelf with a broken wrist. Joe Thornton is day-to-day with a lower body ailment. And you saw Josh Anderson leave the game against Winnipeg last night after a bit of a slew foot from Dylan DeMello. Dominique Ducharme saying it's not too serious, but he left looking a little gingerly on the lower half there.
We'll give you some more updates. Mark Masters from TSN reporting that Jack Campbell has declared himself good to go. He's not played since he got stepped on by Matthew Tkachuk back on January 24th. Keefe added Auston Matthews hasn't been ruled out for tomorrow's game. The Leafs lines today, both Muzzin and Thornton were back. Tavares with Thornton and Marner. Kerfoot with Barabanov and Nylander. Engvall with Mikheyev and Hyman. Boyd with Patan and Spezza. The extras were Sabourin, Galchenyuk, who's yet to play for them, and Vesey, who might be a little bit in the doghouse there. Morgan Riley with TJ Brody. Jake Muzzin was back with Justin Hall. And they had Travis Dermott, who played with Connor McDavid and Erie, with Zach Bogosian. And the two goalies they had going were Campbell and Hutchinson. So Anderson was on the ice early before the main practice started. Again, that information supplied by Mark Masters. Yesterday, the Bakersfield Condors, trying to build on their two victories over the weekend, ended up having their game against San Jose canceled. And, you know, it's an interesting decision by San Jose. They got their farm team and the NHL team playing out of the same venue in a market that has pretty stringent rules when it comes to how COVID situations are handled, and both teams ended up getting their games canceled yesterday. Now, you can text us anytime on the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. We're going to try to squeeze some in during the course of the final hour of Oilers Now. Of course, it would help if I could actually log into that right now, and I can't. So we'll have to wait until we get up going. This text comes in. No Muzzin. Ooh, that's like losing Larson, but they can't handle losing Muzzin at this point. Well, he's back. And as of yesterday, Jake Muzzin was actually second in the NHL in even strength scoring by defenseman, behind a guy that you may have heard of, and that is Darnell Nurse. Jay says, Bob, what surprises me the most is at the 25% completion mark of the season with Nugent Hopkins, he looks weak on the puck and consistently losing puck battles. If he wants a raise on his next contract, he really isn't showing that he wants to be in Edmonton. He's done a good job killing penalties. He's got decent offensive numbers. What's he got? I think he's got like 19 points in 22 games. He's not gone on a heater yet offensively. You got to think. You got to think that there's a distinct possibility that he's going to get going here with Connor McDavid, because McDavid has been off the charts. At 12:58, we will head off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. Your favorite, Mark Spector, for the horses and horse racing Alberta when we come back in Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.